You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702. Series Edition.
Last week, we had so much fun when we kicked off our brand new series. And our series this month is on marathon running. Running in general, but of course, this is to build up to something, right? A marathon. And we've been doing it with nine-time Comrades winner, the man who launched the Park Run concept in South Africa. He's an author and just an all-round champion for this way of life, Bruce Fordyce. So this series is also perfectly timed because Bruce wrote a book during lockdown last year, and his new book is out. It's called Winged Messenger. It's a short read, but in it, he goes back to his diaries from 43 years ago. That's when he started running, by the way. So he shares his notes, his accounts on how he got going. And it's a great guide for other people, particularly novices, but established runners will also enjoy it. You'll absolutely love it and maybe even revise your own strategies or even test some of your own strategies in running. So in our previous episode, we looked at the marathon, the history, what it is. And we looked at just aspects of the Comrades Marathon. But today, it's all about training and preparation. Some of you were so impatient because your questions came in last week already about, but how do I train? How do I train? Listen, we're going to have two episodes on training and preparation with Bruce Fordyce. And he's with us now. So as we go along, give us a call or send us a WhatsApp, 011-883-0702. WhatsApp's on 0727021702. Good afternoon, Bruce.
Afternooners, and yes, it was fun last week. I was very nervous about last week. I thought it would maybe stall, but it didn't, or we'd hit the wall in a marathon, but we didn't. So I think we ran out of time.
Yeah, we actually did run out of time. We ran out of time.
Yes. But
that's why I'm glad that the training and preparation part of our conversation is going to be over two episodes.
Yeah, I thought it should be.
Yes. So as you said, people need to make it easy. Make it easy on yourself if you want to start running. So don't even think about a 5K. Think about a 1K, a 2K. Do it in a place maybe where you won't feel too self-conscious, but just remove the obstacles and make it easy. So how much of this is a mental thing as we get going, as we prepare to march towards something?
Well, it's a huge mental thing because you've got to get self-belief, Zanya. So when I started, and thank you for mentioning the book and my diaries from back then, I looked at them and I saw that what I did was the correct thing. I started off very easily. My goal was to run the Comrades Marathon, but I was full of self-doubt to begin with, but I kept slogging on. And I think if we could start with that, the mental part of it, it's no good. Once you've got over the initial phases of becoming a runner, you're now a runner and we're talking about a marathon. You have to have a goal. So you have to say to yourself, my goal is the whatever it is marathon in 6 months' time, in 3 months' time. My particular goal was the Comrades Marathon a year after I started. But because I had that, then everything I did was preparation for that particular goal. And along the way, there were certain key stepping stones that I took as I slowly built up in distance. And then I ran my first half marathon, my first 32K race, and then finally my first marathon, 42K marathon, in preparation and in a build-up towards the Comrades.
Yes. Well, my partner's a runner, and he's also done Comrades. So on some days, he's like, oh, I can feel that I might not make it to my morning run tomorrow. So he would put out his clothes. He'd put out his running clothes so that the first thing you see when you open your eyes, that's one of the first things you see, are those running shoes and those tights that are saying, let's go.
Well, they look at you and they make you feel guilty.
Yes, exactly.
And put us on, let's go. Yeah, that's a great move that your partner makes, by the way, laying out the running gear.
Yeah, because you can talk yourself out of it daily.
Oh, very easily, very easily.
So now that we've taken care of the mental, we've identified a goal. You say it's absolutely critical to work towards a goal. What kind of program? I think maybe that's the other thing that many people get stuck with. Like, yeah, I'm running, but what is the strategy here? How do we get to that point? Do we need a coach? Do we need a program that we outline?
Yeah, so step one is to have what we call a foundation. You need to build a solid foundation. So what that requires is regular, consistent running for several weeks. So it becomes, so you have this solid foundation, you've got a springboard from which to leap, if I can mix my metaphors, but you know what I mean? There it is. And for once you've got that in place, then you say, okay, now I'm ready to do, and weeks, and I'm sure some people will disagree with me, but essentially you need about 8 to 10 weeks of intense training and a taper, a rest period going into the race you're going to run so that you can rest and be strong when race day comes around. But it's about 8 to 10 weeks of intense training. And you mentioned that magic word coach. In my day, if you read in my book, I don't think we could spell the word coach. We had never heard of something like that. Certainly there were no coaches. But actually, when I look back on it, I realized there were coaches. Because once I joined my university running club, the WITS Marathon Club, as it was in those days, the experienced older runners told us what to do. So without knowing it, they were actually our coaches. We didn't credit them with that, but they were our coaches. And there are very many famous coaches all over the world who are legends. And I mean, most recently this weekend, Gerda Steyn and Yvette van Zyl ran personal best times in Italy. And they both qualified for the Olympic Games. And their coach is Nick Bester, who's a former Comrades Marathon winner. And he obviously has the magic touch because both of them did superbly. And as we all know, both of them have done superbly. They would have turned to Nick for a lot of advice and encouragement, and he would tell them what to do. And I know what he's telling them to do right now, because they qualified for the Olympics on the weekend, and everyone would say, okay, the Olympics is June, July. You need to get training hard for the Olympics. And he's told them, no, you need to take 3 weeks off and eat, drink, and be merry and relax. And then we will start the build up to the Olympics. You have to recover from the last great effort. So yes, a coach is important, but we sort of know from the wisdom of many, many coaches that it's about 8 to 10 weeks. And it's very hard to talk to an audience of many, many different abilities. Mm-hmm. But essentially in those 8 to 10 weeks, say to yourself, this is when I'm going to train at my hardest. This is when I'm going to make my commitment. This is when I'm going to tell my partner that I'm going to be grumpy, irritable, and I'm going to ask you to allow me to be a prima donna. And this is when I'm going to tell the people at my workplace that if you see me falling asleep over my computer, it's because I got up very early this morning. Forgive me, it will only last 8 to 10 weeks.
Okay, so that's where the foundation is being built. Or was there a previous foundation? Are these two the same?
There's a foundation, first of all. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if I go my book and my first Comrades Marathon, I actually laid a 6-month foundation without knowing it. I ran on my own. I was too scared to join the WITS Marathon Club because they all looked so skinny and athletic and they looked like world-class athletes. So I ran on my own for 6 months, but I ran consistently for 6 months. I would take a day or two off here or there, too much partying on a Saturday night or towards the end of the year, swatting hard for my exams. I missed out on a bit of training there, but I had a fantastic foundation. I didn't realize that when I eventually had the courage and the new year began and I joined the WITS Marathon Club. And immediately that's when you could say the foundation was laid. Comrades was in those days at the end of May, early June, and the serious training for a Comrades Marathon, I know lots of people will disagree with me, but I think I know what I'm talking about. It starts in the beginning of March, mm-hmm. 8 to 10 weeks. That is the intense time, and that's the prima donna time. And in that, what you need to include, it's not simply just running. You need to include a mixture of various things because you're trying to develop this machine to run a marathon or the Comrades. And so that includes some long, slow runs where you develop the stamina, some ordinary runs, if I can call that, just the ticking over runs, some tempo runs where you run at kind of roundabout just below race pace, but for a much shorter distance so you can ingrain that into your system. And then maybe if you're that kind of an athlete, some quality work, and that would include doing some shorter distance races like club time trials, a park run. Once we get park run back, park run, and maybe even some track work where you do repetitions on the track, and then very importantly, running some hills and running sprint repetitions up and down hills really works fantastically. And people will say, well, I'm running a flat marathon down in Cape Town. I'm running the Cape Town Marathon at the end of September. I don't need hills. You do.
Mm-hmm.
Hills bring tremendous strength, even if that you're going to run has no hills.
Mm-hmm.
And you mix all that, and I've forgotten the most ingredient of all, the one that everybody forgets about, because marathon runners are hard. We're driven. We are not frightened of hard work. There's the most important ingredient of all. It's called rest. It's a four-letter swear word to marathon runners, but it's the most important word, rest. You only get fitter because you work your body and then you recover, and then you work your body again and you recover again. That's right. How you build fitness. You build it in steps. Yeah.
I think I was, when you said earlier about, you know, drink, be merry, and I thought, what? Is there even room for that in the life of a marathon runner? It sounded like just something that doesn't belong.
Well, so what puzzles me about the other sports, and I love all sports, by the way, what puzzles me about them all is how they are expected to perform at the highest level throughout the year. It is just physically impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what the Springboks got right in 2019 when we won the Rugby World Cup final was they came from nowhere. I mean, we were ranked, I think, sixth in the world, maybe even lower. And they peaked, and that's a critical word in marathon running terminology. They peaked at exactly the right time, which was in Japan for the Rugby World Cup final. And probably had you played the Springboks a month or two later, you would have smashed them if you were another international country, because then by then they are over their peak. They have achieved what they wanted to, and they've gone into relaxation mode. And so in marathon running, what we've discovered is that you can possibly get two or three peaks in a year.
Right.
And you've got to build to those. And on day, it is possible to produce the absolute maximum that you are capable of. But the response to it afterwards is not to say, great, I ran so well, I've got to keep going. No, the response afterwards is to pull yourself back down into the trough, down into the bottom of the wave, and then you build up again for the next peak. So what I'm hoping with Gera and with Yvette, for instance, in our marathon hopefuls now in Tokyo, is that they now, they've run unbelievably. Now they must recover. And obviously, I'm exaggerating, eat, drink, and be merry. But what I mean by that is relax. You know what? That little cake that you denied yourself 2 weeks ago because marathon running was coming, the big marathon was coming, have it.
Yes.
You know what your friends have asked you to a Brian? You go to the Brian, have a couple of glasses of wine, and just tick over. And then when your coach, Nick, says, and he knows what he's talking about, in 3 weeks' time, he says, okay, now we start Tokyo. Then Project Tokyo begins.
I see.
You're starting it from a fresh night.
Yeah, because the perception is like it's such clean living, such clean living that there's no room for anything else. So I think that gives reassurance that even ordinary people can get into it and not be afraid that they'll have to cut out all the things we love.
It's choosing the time when it's time to, you know, obviously you're not going to have a huge party with a week to go to your biggest ever race of your life, but it's choosing the time. And it's about peaking. And in fact, we mentioned coaches, but I think most coaches or many coaches, certainly myself, are influenced by one of the greatest coaches of all time. And he was a New Zealander called Arthur Lydiard. And I'm honored to have met him once back in the 1980s. And the Lydiard method is, lots of people talk about it. It's lots of distance work followed by some very short, sharp, faster work just before your marathon, followed by a rest as you go into it. And then you get the results. And he used marathon training for his greatest athlete, who is a runner called Peter Snell, who won the 800 meters in Rome in, I think, 1960, and then won the 800 and the 1500 meters in Tokyo in 1964. And he trained like a marathon runner. And Lydia trained him like that. But obviously, Peter Snell had phenomenal speed for those shorter distances. And Lydiard's influence has filtered through to even today. Most of us, without knowing it, train in the Lydiard style.
Right. Let's take this call from. from Renee, and I've got some WhatsApps for you as well, Bruce. Let's make time for those two. We've got Renee in Kensington. Hi, Renee.
Hi, Zania. How are you?
Good. Welcome. Welcome to our conversation.
Thanks, and hi to Bruce as well. Thanks very much for this running segment. I'm a new runner. I started running last year, and what I picked up from Bruce, which is so important, is when I went for my first run, I didn't go long purposely because I nearly died on my first run. I think my first run was 1 kilometer, but I did things what you guys have been saying is every night I put my running gear out and I laid it out. I knew 5 o'clock in the morning I'm going for a run, you know. And as the months went on, my mileage increased, running became easier, more enjoyable. And the hardest thing is rest day, because I kind of feel guilty, you know. I want to be out there running. And this weekend I'm doing my first virtual marathon, the Edenvale Marathon. So
yeah.
I'm really stoked about that, from not being able to run a K, but to where I am now. And I take it down to just taking it slowly, you know. You can't go through it quickly, you know.
Yes. Renee, when did you said you started doing this, when? Which month?
I started in about September last
September
year.
September already? Wow, yeah, that's fantastic.
I've lost 20 kilos in the process, so some of my friends are saying I'm going to stop running.
That's such a beautiful call. Well done, and all the best this weekend, Renee. All the best.
Yeah, Renee, absolutely. Let us know how you went, if you can. Send us a message.
Next week still. It's fantastic. But he raises...
But now it's time to rest.
Oh, so he should rest ahead of this weekend's
run. Well, if it's a marathon's coming, you just tick over lightly. You'll need to go for a little run just to keep the legs loose, but nothing serious now. It's upon you. And I wish on you only one thing, and that is that you can run a proper marathon, if I can use that word, not a virtual marathon, as soon as possible, and enjoy the feeling of running on with thousands of other runners. I hope that time comes quickly. And then, Renee, I'm afraid Comrades is calling you, huh? It's calling.
It's
2022. Yeah. Talk to me about it. 2022, it's calling you. It's going to be a down run.
Here are a couple more messages for you, Bruce. One person says, I remember Bruce wrote chewable chunks. That's how I started my comrade's journey. Also did a few 100 milers, this WhatsApp says. And then another one says, thank you for the running segment. Started running last year, July. Also started off really slow, building up those kilometers. So that's another WhatsApp just affirming the call that we've just had. Another one says, this is what motivated me to run my first comrade's marathon. When I saw an elderly lady drive a car, I said to myself, if she can do it, so can I. The same with running. When I saw a marathon on television for the first time, I said to myself, if they can do it, so can I. So I ran my first comrades in 1986, training for 6 months, covering 1,500 kilometers in training, running it in 8 hours, 13 seconds. I said to myself, I'm running 1 kilometer 89 times instead of running 89 kilometers. That comes from Anthony in Oakdean. So there's so many inspiring messages. Kolani Rodiport says, is running for everyone? What I mean is, are there things that might prohibit one from being a successful runner? I'm 95 kilograms in my body mass. Is my body mass a possible hindrance, rather, in terms of endurance or speed? So this comes from Kolani. Says, I do maximum 12 to 15 kilometers from time to time.
Well, Kalani, running is not necessarily for everyone. What I do think is for everyone is exercises for everyone. And once you've found the exercise that you enjoy, you know, whatever it might be, that's what your body really wants. And in that case, exercise is almost definitely for everyone. Running, you will definitely enjoy it. And, you know, you were talking about being... I think I heard the words, you know, an outstanding athlete. You don't have to be an outstanding athlete to enjoy running. In fact, when you're at the highest level, there's an enormous amount of pressure. You always operate on the edge of being injured, on the edge of being ill. It's very tense. You have to work very, very hard. Whereas actually, if you simply enjoy your running, then by enjoying your running, you become a winning runner, because that's what it's all about in the end. It's actually enjoying it. And I think the most wonderful thing for me when my competitive days and winning days came to an end was that I was now free to love my running. And the great gift I gave to myself at that stage was I gave myself permission to be slow. And once you've given permission to be slow and to not necessarily have to win, but to just enjoy it, then from running comes the greatest pleasure, I think. You don't have to be competitive. And remember, there's only a handful of runners who have, as I said, I think last week, chosen their parents correctly so that they can be genetically suited to running, you know, at the front.
So we're going to talk about injuries and setbacks and a whole lot more in the second part to our training and preparation episode. Bruce, as always, here we are out of time, but thank you so much.
Yes, we'll have to have a marathon slot one day.
I agree, especially in that build-up when Comrades comes back in that build-up. Would be so much fun. It would be so much fun. That 8 to 10 week build-up, you know, training that you talked about and the rest ahead of Comrades. Maybe that's what we will do on the radio with a whole group of people. I love that idea.
That'll be fun. Thank you. Yes,
absolutely. That's Bruce Fordyce. And let's see what comes of this. I did a couple of days of 1.5 kilometers around where I live. So hopefully it'll build up, just like what Renee had said. But my workout is yoga, so we'll never be parted with that.